It happens to everyone at some point. You lose your desire to seek God, have faith, and even pray. So how do you get back desire when you don't even have desire?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to our podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. It is going to be super awesome. So if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and like this video. You can comment if you have any questions or thoughts about that. We would love that. And then if you'd subscribe to our channel, that would be great. We've got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. So I'm glad you're here for this one. It is going to be great.
Yeah, it's good. So it's a fair question. What do you do when you lack desire?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of one of those kind of dead end situations. If you don't have desire, where do you get the desire to have the desire? You
exactly.
know, where does all
yeah.
that come
yeah.
from?
And I think everyone who is a believer has, you know, experienced this specifically related to your faith.
Yeah.
You know, and like, man, I'm just not feeling like reading the Bible. I'm just
yep.
not feeling like praying.
Yep.
And I've been asked that by students as mm-hmm. I am the mm-hmm. youth pastor here, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, man, what do I do to become motivated? What do I do to, you know, like want to do, you know,
yeah.
things? And so
yeah.
that's why we're doing this podcast right here.
Well, and it happens in other areas of life. It
yeah.
happens when it comes to work. You know, everybody, we all go through cycles.
Yeah.
We're like, ah, man, just not feeling it today. You mm-hmm. know, I got to get up and go do the daily grind, whatever it is. And, you know, how do I get my motivation up to keep going, mm-hmm. to keep doing? You know, what does it mean if I'm losing my motivation? And it happens in relationships
yeah.
as well. It happens
for
with
sure.
friendships where you kind of feel like, I don't know, just kind of losing desire for that friendship anymore. It happens in marriage, you know. How do I keep up the motivation to love and sacrifice and serve and give?
Mm-hmm.
Because that perhaps is one of the more, you know, ongoing realities of life of is marriage. It's every day. It doesn't go away, nor
yeah.
should it.
Yeah.
But how do you move forward with motivation that's this daily so that it stays fresh, so that it stays exciting and not just fall into just the dull routines
yeah,
of life.
Exactly.
It yeah. can happen with talents and interests and hobbies that you might have as well. Those kind of come, those go. It certainly can happen in parenting. You know, mm-hmm. That has its own level of, you know, stress to it at times. So how do you stay motivated? How do you stay mm-hmm. ahead of that game? How do you not just get carried along with it?
Yeah.
But today,
yeah.
go ahead.
I was going to say the burnout,
yeah,
you know, thing.
Exactly.
And we've done a podcast on that and, because burnout is another good way to you know,
right.
kind of put words to this feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens in the faith. And that's kind of where we're drilling down into today, because
mm-hmm.
I think if we can unlock how to find motivation in our faith, that what we're going to find is actually the key that unlocks motivation for every area. Because all of life is spiritual.
Yeah,
and
if you can
understand the basics of how to stay motivated at that level, it really does ignite that yeah. for every level.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
I know it happens, and we ask the question, so what do I do?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's lots of alternatives, and there's lots of things that people say about that. There's even a lot of messages that churches will give about
yeah.
that moment, you know, when
yeah.
you're lacking motivation, you know, here's what you ought to do. And
yeah.
some of those are not always the best
no.
set of counsel
no.
or instruction.
Yeah.
I know one of the ones I've heard over the years is, well, you just got to fake it till you make it. You just keep going. You just
yeah.
keep doing the thing. You just put on a happy face and just go.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, that hasn't worked for anybody
mm-hmm. no.
in their faith.
No.
It doesn't work for anybody in marriage. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
work in parenting. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Sounds
like, yeah, you might be doing the thing or whatever,
yep.
you know, you might in a sense get the outcome
yep.
that maybe you were in a sense like, oh, I just fake it till I make it. I just read my Bible, even though I hate it. You know, I'll
yep.
just, you know, do this nice thing, even though I really don't want to. And it's like,
yep.
that's not desire. And that's,
right.
you know, that's not, you're not actually doing it because you want to.
Yeah.
You're literally almost doing it like out of frustration.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
basically.
Last time I read my Bible, Jesus was pretty down on faking it.
Yeah. Exactly.
He did not like that at all.
Exactly.
He
yep.
called out entire groups over and over again.
Yeah.
Calling them hypocrites because they
yeah.
were just faking it to try
so
to
good.
Make it. And
yep.
so that can't be the answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another common thing you hear is, well, just do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Do it whether you like it or whether you don't. Just do it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like the discipline. And yes, like discipline obviously is a necessary part of the Christian life, you know, but if you're coming to this podcast to be like, I've lost my desire, how do I get it back? We're not going to be like, just be disciplined and then you'll get your desire back.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think that's the answer,
No.
Just be disciplined does not produce motivation and desire. And
exactly. There is again, the message of scripture of faithfulness and obedience, mm-hmm. but you don't read where that actually produces desire,
mm-hmm.
produces an outcome.
Yeah.
That's not what produces the desire.
Yeah.
Just forcing yourself.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily create mm-hmm. desire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beating yourself up for not having desire.
Yeah.
Does not create desire.
No. It's the easiest one to do.
It is. And it's the message that you often hear in churches. You know, shame on you for not having desire. And it's terrible. You should repent of that.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, wow, I'm literally the worst person. You know? Oh, and I also must be like the only person that actually struggles with desire.
Yes.
And everyone else around me must be so motivated to read the Bible every day, but not me. Poor old me. I'm the worst.
And maybe if I just tell myself how miserable I am and how terrible I am and what a failure I am and what a loser I am, what a sinner I am, maybe that'll create desire in me.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It never has and never will.
Exactly. Yeah. And the idea of like, hey, just watch you some motivational videos on YouTube, like listen to the champions of the minds, the David Goggins people, the guys who are just like, I'm so hardcore and I can do anything my mind doesn't want to do, I'll just go ahead and do it. And it's like, that's cool and that's fun and all.
Yeah.
But like, what is that actually what Jesus is like? Yep, that right there. That's what I've come to put in you.
Yeah.
Or is there...
You nailed it.
Yeah, exactly. Or is there something different, something internal that ought to change rather than, in a sense, like an external, like, I'm just going to do this and who cares about my feelings kind of thing.
Yeah.
There are aspects of that are still good and right, but...
Yeah. Another thing you hear is, hey, just relax. It'll come on its own.
Yeah.
That hadn't been my experience. No. I mean... And it's just not, the way it is.
Yeah.
If it was going to come on its own, then Jesus would have had no reason to come to earth.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was just going to naturally happen.
Yeah.
So I think we're pretty clear. Those are not where we're headed today. Mm-hmm. And those do not produce desire. So let's talk for just a moment about what is desire. Because if we can't get the definition right,
definitely,
then we really can't understand where we're even headed today.
Yeah. And again, like we're talking about, I've lost my desire. How can I get my desire back? Not I've lost my desire. How can I still get the same outcome? Because there is a difference in that, And we're talking about how do I get my desire back? So when we say desire, we're talking about a genuine and sincere motivation, an internal fire in the bones kind of an idea that I internally want to do this, you know? And so a desire like that is it's a passion that draws us to speak and to move and calls us to action, a passion that's in us. It's a longing that's deep within. It's not just kind of like a surface level, like, oh, that would be cool kind of a thing. But it's like there's not enough words to describe the longing that I have for this to come to pass. And so again, not talking about how do I get the desired outcome, but how do I get that desire back? Because if you're a believer, you know what that feeling is like, what a desire to live a good life is, what the desire of reading your Bible is, what the desire to be connected in prayer with God is,
To be engaged with other people at church, to engage in worship, to open your mouth, to express, to sing, to seek the Lord, to apply truth deep within, to want to obey, all of that. That Jesus came to give us desire for that. He didn't come to just give us a list of rules of what to do. He came to give us the desire to do what he's called us to do.
So good.
Yeah. And this kind of desire, it comes when there is freedom in the soul. It comes when there's security with Christ. And it comes when you start seeing what you've been given. So this is where we're headed today is how do I get to that place where I have genuine desire in my faith, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my work, in my life, yeah. so that I wake up with a sense of, okay, let's do this. I got a purpose today. And you put your head on your pillow at night knowing, yes, I have been what God called me to be today. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of desire that God wants us to have. So I think it's important to know that this kind of desire, it begins in God. It's not just something that's in us. This is something that is in Him. He is the eternal God who has always existed. And the Bible tells us that out of who He is, He created. Mm-hmm. He had a desire for life to come from Him. Mm-hmm. He didn't create out of need. Mm-hmm. He did not say, man, I am lonely out here in this mm-hmm. universe. Mm-hmm. And He didn't say, man, I'm really hurting. He out of what was in Him came a desire to create. Mm-hmm. In the very first verse of Scripture, in the beginning, God, the self-existent, always eternal, full of life God, created. Mm-hmm. Out of Him, He created. Something came forth from Him. It wasn't forced. Mm-hmm. It wasn't manipulated. It wasn't coerced. It wasn't because He got up and watched a motivational YouTube.
Exactly.
He just created the heavens mm-hmm. and the earth out of desire that was within Him. And we even see that in the opening verses of John in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. It came from Him out of this triune existence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came life. Mm-hmm. And so we have to know that desire comes from God. And that's a good thing. He has it and He wants to give it to us. And so we find this, even Jesus saying that if anyone thirsts, if you're longing for the fulfillment, but you're longing for the desire as well, He says, let him come to me and drink. And the one who does, He says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Man, desire will erupt in him.
Yeah.
Not to trickle out, not to barely pour out, but rivers mm-hmm. gushing.
Yeah.
Living water comes out of us.
And again, the idea that it is coming out of us. Like this is an internal towards an external end, you know, like that it comes from within. It's a desire. Yeah. It is a move, a longing. And so it is healthy to have desire. It is necessary even mm-hmm. to have desire. And when we lack desire, it's a sign of unhealthiness.
It's true.
It's a desire of a lack.
Yeah.
You know, and not that it is like, oh, you don't have a desire? You're the worst of sinners.
Right.
See ya. You know, shame on you.
No.
Guilt on you. Condemnation on you. It's not that. Mm-hmm. But it's a sign that, hey, we should check and see what are we believing? What is unhealthy in your life? You know, because mm-hmm. just like a person who would have an aversion to or lack the desire to eat food, you'd say, hey, what happened?
Yeah, something's wrong.
What's going on? You know, if the person's lacking the desire to drink water to be a healthy person, you know, you're going, hey, we should get you some help, you know? Yep. Yep. Just the same as someone who is lacking the desire for social interaction. You're going, hey, who hurt you?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Something happened.
Why are you pulling away from everyone? Mm-hmm. The same is the truth for the one who is lacking the desire for faith interactions.
Yep.
Who's lacking the desire for connection with God, who's lacking the desire for connection with others. And so you're saying, hey, what unhealthy thing happened, you know, or what has happened in your life, you know, that has produced an unhealthiness, right?
Or is there an unhealthy way of thinking that you have or believing that you have?
Exactly.
Because the natural product of following Jesus, according to his own words, is lots of life and desire.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
river. Yeah.
So if that's missing, this is not condemnation, as you said, but this is a need for inspection.
Yeah.
We should at least stop and consider, okay, something.
What's going on?
Yeah. Something's not right because I should be producing naturally rivers of living water that show up with genuine love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and even self-control. That ought to be naturally flowing from me if I am truly connected to what Jesus says he is and who he is.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the idea of like, okay, so what are you believing about yourself?
Yep.
What are you believing about God? And what are you believing about the relationship between the two of you? You know, that between God, our Savior, Creator, he's sovereign, he reigns, he's king, and you, who is his creation, who is his beloved, who is the one he has died for, you know? And so that is what our goal is in this podcast. You know, we want to look at the things that don't create desire in you that you may be believing, you know, and
exactly.
So I'm looking forward to it.
So I think it's important also to look at some things that don't create desire.
Yeah.
That are often even experienced in church and around Christian people. This was what's tragic. And one of those is that desire never comes from forced obligation.
Yeah.
Man, if you think you are somehow forced into a belief or forced into a behavior that is not who you are or want to be, you might do it as long as the threat is over you.
Exactly.
But you won't do it once that is removed. Because forced obligation never creates genuine desire. And we're talking about genuine desire here again. Yeah. Something that comes from inside, something that's genuine, and something that has passion to it. That's desire. So if you have been in a situation in a church where you have felt shamed or forced into an obligatory reading of your Bible, prayer, loving your husband, loving your spouse, loving your wife, parenting your kids. If that has been pressed upon you in a heavy-handed, forceful,
shaming,
obligation way, I know what your experience is. You don't have any desire. And it's so sad because this is often what has shaped a lot of Christian homes.
Yeah.
They'll go into a church service on a Sunday, feel that obligation, whether it was from the church or not. Sometimes it's even just what we've personally believed. And then we go home and what we live out is opposite of all of that.
Yeah.
And it just, there's no desire for that. I don't have the desire to read my Bible. I don't have the desire to pray. I don't have the desire to love my spouse. I don't have the desire to parent like this. It's hard. It's heavy. Desire never comes from forced obligation. Desire also never comes from guilt.
Yeah.
From guilting someone, manipulating someone, trying to almost shame them into some place of doing a certain behavior. Yeah. That kind of guilting does not work.
Yeah.
It produces a short-term response.
Yep.
I'll do it right now.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. And kind of each of these that don't create desire, the reason we have these here is because they have produced outcomes.
Yes.
There may be a sense of, hey, the person that heard your words is going to do the thing now. Cool. You know, they did the task, I guess. You know, the one that you're forcing and saying like, hey, you better do this. You know, you better read your Bible. You better spend time praying. You better love your wife. You better love your husband or else kind of a thing.
Yep.
You'll get an outcome.
Yeah.
But you're not getting desire.
No.
And you never will with that.
Yeah. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work in faith. It doesn't work in parenting.
Yeah. Doesn't work on the job.
It doesn't work and work anywhere.
No, you will get the outcome.
Yeah.
You will not get desire.
Yeah. I remember I spent some time working in a Christian school and we had some guidelines we wanted students to follow. And the approach we took was heavy on the rule side with lots of consequences rather than being a place or being a setting balanced with grace and favor from Christ. And so what it did is it produced student body, not everybody, but for the large part, who, as long as they were in the place where the rules were expected, there was a certain behavior, and it looked like everybody was playing by the rules. But because it was hard and heavy and their heart was not in it, as soon as they got outside that environment, everything was different.
Yeah.
They were doing anything but what was inside that environment. And so you can't get there just by imposing rules and laws and condemnation and shame and even consequences. I mean, it's necessary to have rules and laws and consequences, but people, even our own society, who break the law and have to be put in jail and face the consequences for their decision don't always have a heart change because of it.
Like, oh man, I now desire to do the right thing.
Exactly. It doesn't work that way. And so desire doesn't come, again, from forced obligation, from guilting, from shaming. It doesn't come from guilting yourself. It doesn't come from beating yourself up. It doesn't come from high imposed standards where you say, I'm going to atone basically for my own sin. I'm going to beat myself up, punish myself, create a big high standard of performance for myself. None of that works. And if you've tried any of that, you know this, which is probably why you're listening today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because I've walked in this too. I've tried all of this and I beat myself up to do enough good things. I beat myself up for not doing the right things. I got a certain outcome for a while, but it rarely lasted. And what it produced in the middle was lots of mind churn. Lots of confusion, lots of guilting, lots of shaming. So
I think it's super important, again, even just to like ask the question to yourself, even like, what is greater, like getting the outcome that I want right now or working at producing desire in a person, even though the outcome may not be up to the standard that you it's want right now. You know, it, you think about that in parenting, in your marriage, in your own life, your own faith and all that. You know, it is way more important to foster the desire and grow the desire than it is to be like, I need the outcome now, you know, because the desire, there's now opportunity for growth. With just asking for the outcome, your ceiling is what you ask for, you know.
And nothing more.
Nothing more. But with desire, like that's the floor, you know, like the desire, like that it's only up from there, you know.
Yeah. There were lots of days I remember reading my Bible and getting absolutely nothing out of it. But man, I did it.
You did the thing.
I did it. And checklist, here we go. So it took a long time of unprogramming, deprogramming myself from that.
And finding desire.
Exactly.
Which again, doesn't just come in one day.
No, it does not.
We will point out the things that destroy desire.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important.
Yeah.
But we're also going to point out what
we're getting there.
Creates desire.
We're getting there. So this whole idea, you know, of trying to force, manipulate, coerce, threaten, heavy hand, rules, all that stuff, force yourself into some kind of desired place. I think this is something that Jesus was completely against. And we know that because he was so frustrated with the unbelieving Jews in his day, the group of Pharisees. He says in Matthew 23 about them, he says, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So here were the Pharisees imposing all these laws on top of laws upon the people to force them into some godlike obedience that was all external, and it was heavy. Jesus says it was like you're tying heavy burdens upon them. You're putting it on their shoulders, so they have to carry around this oppressive weight from God. And that is not what Jesus came for. In fact, he came to undo that. Jesus would also say about this same group, he'd say, woe to you. He pronounced basically a curse upon them. You scribes and you Pharisees, hypocrites, he called them. He said, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Now, that's pretty heavy. That's hard. But this is what Jesus, he was passionate about this because he saw people having desire ripped away from them and being forced into some obligatory behavior for the sake of outward appearances. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was all against that. And we should mm-hmm. be as well. We should never be in favor of outwardly forced, manipulated, guilted behavior into something that's supposed to be godly. So none of that works. It doesn't work in faith. It doesn't work in marriage. It doesn't work in relationships. Yeah. It doesn't work in any of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've talked to men and I've talked to women who have felt that burden and they just have come to a place of, well, this is just life. I'm just going to have to just
grin and bear
fake it till I make it, mm-hmm. do what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I hate it, but mm-hmm. I do it. Mm-hmm. I act like I like it, but I don't. Mm-hmm. That is not what Jesus came for.
It's like you're telling me in the picture that is supposed to represent the gospel the best in the marriage, you're supposed to have the most like trauma, essentially.
Ain't
no way. You know, that's not good news. Yeah. That's not.
Yeah. Here is the gospel. Fake it till you make it. Yeah.
Amen. Wow. What it's a great message to the next generations, you know?
Yeah, so I think this is against that backdrop. You feel this fire of Jesus when he declares his opening day of ministry, basically, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and he says, and he quotes Isaiah, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, mm-hmm. for he has anointed me, he's called me, he's chosen mm-hmm. me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." This is who he was talking about, mm-hmm. that people who have carried the burden of thinking this is what it means to know God, he said, "I've come to release all of that. I've come to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor." So this is where we're headed today. There is a place of genuine desire that is sincere, that is real, that is passionate, and this is what he came for. We might live in that, not maybe have it once every conference we go to, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but that we live in this fire, that we live in this rivers flowing out of our heart.
Yeah.
So
good.
If you're lacking desire today, just know it doesn't have to always be this way. This is not what Jesus came for. Don't settle for that. Mm-hmm. Just know that he came to give you fresh desire. He doesn't come to condemn you because you don't have it. He calls and says, "Come to me, and I'm going to restore what's been missing in your life." So how do we get it back when it's gone? This is where we're going to spend the rest of our time today. I think one of the things that Scripture tells us is that when it happens like this, that we have the ability and responsibility to stir ourselves up.
Yeah.
That we can actually be part of what ignites the desire again.
Yeah.
So the promise from the Old Testament that's fulfilled the New Testament is this very idea. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel writes, this is from the Lord. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." In other words, a new essence down deep inside. Mm-hmm. Something that is different than what you used to be. And here's how he describes it. "I'm going to take the heart of stone out of your flesh." That heart that was hard, that didn't have desire, that was dead, that was cold, that had no sensitivity, that had no passion to it, that had no growth to it, had no beat to it, had no rhythm to it. "I'm going to take that out." He said, "I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, one that pulses and moves and has life to it and keeps moving. It has rhythm to it." This was the prophetic announcement. Then the New Testament confirms all that and says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
So good.
So this ought to stir us up a little bit and say, wait a minute, I've been given a new heart.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's another passage where Paul is writing to the young pastor, Timothy, who is, I mean, in a sense, scared, insecure, young.
Yep.
And so he's intimidated by the role that he's in, and Paul writes to him, encouraging him. So this is 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, starting here. It says, Paul writing, he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it's in you also. And so Paul's saying, hey, I've been around you. I've been around your family. And so he is encouraging Timothy, hey, I know your family. I know you. And then verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul's like, I've been with you. And so I'm pleading with you to stir up the gift in you.
Yeah.
So remember your mother and your grandmother and those who are around you. And even Paul himself, who has been with him in his ministry. And he's like, remind yourself of the way in which God's worked and the ways that he's gifted you, you know? So we do have that responsibility to stir up ourselves by our memories.
Yeah, exactly.
By the testimony of others around us as well, that we would not be dead. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't grow cold, but that we would be continually stirring ourselves up.
Yeah.
That we would not grow stagnant, but that we would have the river flowing out from us by those that are around us and what has happened in our life as well.
Yeah, I love all that. This picture of stirring up. I for some reason, I get a picture of, I'm picturing Heather in the kitchen and she's making some cookies, you know, and she's poured all the ingredients into the pan or the bowl. And then she's going to get a spoon or, you know, something, and she's going to start stirring.
Yeah.
And she's going to start stirring all those ingredients together.
Yeah.
And what's going to come out of that is something different than what the ingredients were separately.
Yeah.
They're so all going to come together to make something new that's going to be delicious.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm usually not wanting to always wait until they're done in the oven. So I think, okay, that's the same idea. Paul's saying, all right, Timothy, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm encouraging you, but I'm also telling you, you have the ability. Stir it up in yourself and do that by remembering the ingredients that have gone into your life.
Yeah.
Looking at what's been poured into you. It came from your family. Mm-hmm. It came from me. Mm-hmm. It came from Jesus himself. And I want you to get stirred up about this. So you start stirring together all the ingredients, say, wait a minute. I've been chosen for this time, for this day and this time. You just poured an ingredient.
Yeah.
Good. I've been forgiven of my sin and freed from having to carry guilt and condemnation. Great. You just put some eggs in the mix now. You know? I've been freed from having to beat myself up, punish myself, and see only my failures.
Yeah.
You just poured another ingredient in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been freed from having to measure up to an impossible standard. I've been created with a unique set of gifts and talents. My life is not chaotic. It is not out of control. Yeah. It is in control of God's hands. You take all that, you stir it up together, you start stirring yourself up.
Exactly.
You start getting motivated again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something beautiful comes out of all that.
Yeah. You see desire rising up beyond, all right, I have to do this.
Yep.
Not just, oh, I've got to produce this outcome, but wow, this is who God says I am. And this is what God has done in my life. This is what God's done in the life of those around me.
Yep.
I have a desire to know who is this great God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it comes when you put good things into the recipe,
into the
bowl. Exactly. You know, you start putting some rotten things in there, you won't get the same outcome. You won't get the same set of desire. Yeah. But you put in truth, you put in reminders of grace and God's goodness to you, desire starts coming alive. Now, I think that kind of brings our second one here. Here's some things you want to not do. Don't get tangled up in who you used to be. Make sure you're putting some good ingredients in the bowl. Don't put some rotten ingredients in that bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you start putting in a whole bunch of, I'm no good, I can't do anything, I'm still just a sinner, my heart is deceitfully wicked, I'm so guilty, I'm so shameful. You put all that in your bowl, you're not going to get godly desire come out. You're going to get some rotten cookies come out of that.
Yep.
It's not going to work for you. So, but I start putting in who I've been made and what I am no longer, then desire comes alive. This is one of the biggest ones for me personally. The more I have believed that truly I am freed from any guilt and shame, that I no longer have to beat myself up for my sins. I no longer have to keep a track record of them. I no longer have to replay it. That for me, it inspires desire.
Yeah.
But the opposite does the opposite. If I'm weighing myself down, mm-hmm. I'm getting all tangled up again in what I can't do, what I used to be, that must be who I am. I'm still just rotten at my core. And that doesn't help me ever. Mm-hmm. It leads me backwards. I think this is why in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, it says this in verse 16. It says that this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. And here's what he promises. He says, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts and I'm going to write them on their minds. Mm-hmm. That's Bible language for I'm going to give you desire deep mm-hmm. in your heart and actually in your mind as well. You're mm-hmm. going to want to do what's right. We're all ready to say, okay, I'll take some of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I want some of that. Well, the next verse tells us how he does that. He says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Yeah. That inspires me with desire.
Yeah.
He says, and where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary.
So
that ignites desire. That mm-hmm. that makes me want to love, seek, and pursue the one who set me free. I'm all over that. I'm ready. Let's go. I am free. You've taken the shackles off that I've carried. You've removed the burden from my shoulders that I was bearing. You've set me free to that level. I'm in. Let's go. So don't get tangled up again in where you were. The Apostle Paul will say also in Galatians that this is something you have to fight for. Like it's going to keep trying to tangle you up again.
Yeah, exactly.
In Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And he says, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't go back to what weighs you down, pulls you down, defeats you. Mm-hmm. That means, this is going to be work. This is going to be a war, but it will be worth it because there's nothing like freedom. Mm-hmm. So, don't get tangled up again in where you were. Stir it up, but don't get tangled up again.
Yep. And then so good.
The third one to this that's so important is to know that you are not a permanent misfit. Now this has desire factored to it when you realize this. It's tragic to me to think in our day that people have chosen to identify with trauma labels and disability labels mm-hmm. as though this is their forever identity. Because mm-hmm. the more you do that, the more you just set the ceiling of, well, I will never be anything more than this.
Yep.
I am divorced. I am broken. I failed. I was immoral. I am a sinner. Well, you're setting a ceiling every time you do one of those. And the culture today wants people to play into this. That the more disabling labels that you can wear, the more attention you receive.
Yeah.
But the less desire you get for any growth in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what's so tragic. And so we aren't called to identify and make agreements with our failures. We're called to identify and make agreements with what Jesus has done for us. And there is where we start finding victory and we find freedom. Because yes, mm-hmm. I was a sinner. Yes, I, me personally, was anxious and walked in depression. Yes, I have walked through certain failures in my life. If I choose at any point to just wear that as this is who I am, I will never achieve anything beyond that. Mm-hmm. But if I wear what Jesus has given me, then I can become what Romans 8 says, a more than a conqueror. Mm-hmm. Through him who loved us. Because then Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can become and I can be victorious over all things, in spite of what the world might say, in spite of what the latest label that someone wanted to attach to me says. So good. I am not a permanent misfit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Knowing that gives me desire.
Yep. Kelly.
Wearing a misfit label saps me of all energy.
No desire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's good.
All right. Number four, related to all of this, is every one of these is so important, but this one, surround yourself with people who are inspirational.
Yeah.
I don't mean just top-notch authors. That's a good thing too.
Yeah.
But even in a local sense, putting yourself in the company of other people who are experiencing God's blessing in their life, who are walking in His abundance.
Yep.
Man, find someone like that. It might not be in every area of their life, but there's an area of life they're succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Hang around them.
Yep.
You know, if you're a man and you know some other men who are experiencing some joy in their marriage and in their parenting and their home, hang out with those guys.
Yep.
Find out what's going on.
So good.
Yep. If you're a woman and you see some other women who are experiencing joy and confidence in their identity, hang around those women.
Mm-hmm.
Get it with them. Young people, hang out with some other young people who mm-hmm. are experiencing some freedom in their life and joy.
Exactly.
And again, that can happen locally with people you know, but it can also happen with this information age we're in. Man, you can listen to some good podcasts from people around the globe.
Yep.
We've
literally
got, we have people who listen to. Trey listens to a lot more podcasts than I mm-hmm. do. And they're people from all across America.
Yeah.
Right?
And some from some the UK.
Beyond.
Yeah.
That God is blessing them. God is speaking to them. God's using them.
Incredibly.
So, and you pour into their lives that I want some of that.
Yeah, exactly. and I continually am inspired by these people, and it motivates me to be like, wow, you're telling me if God can do that for them there where they are, then He can do that for me here where I am.
Exactly.
You know? And if He's working in their life and you know, they are pouring into the scriptures and being fed from it, like mm-hmm. I can do the same thing as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just so important to know who are the people that surround yourself, that you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you are lacking desire for, you know, anything faith related.
Yep.
And then you look around at the people in your life and you're like, oh, they also none of them have a desire for anything faith related.
Right. Like, well, yeah. We've heard from people before. You're like, if you want to see what your life's going to be like over the next 5 years, look at the three or four people that you're hanging around.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to become like.
Yep. That sum total is who you will be.
Yeah, that's true. Shout out to Ed Young at Fellowship Church years ago in a knockoff to 50 Shades of Grey. He wrote a book called 50 Shades of They.
Classic. And
he talked about the importance of surrounding yourself with good people who mm-hmm. are inspirational, who motivational. They seek Christ. They follow Christ because you will become like them. So,
mm-hmm.
Listen to some great podcasts. Read some great books.
Yep.
There's lots of them out there today.
Yeah.
Watch some great movies. Have some good friends. Get mm-hmm. involved in a church.
Yes.
Have some people that you get to mm-hmm. know.
Yep.
Have people into your home.
Yeah.
Spend time with other people.
That's what I was going to say. All the online stuff, even this podcast, you know, shout out.
Yeah.
They are all good sources to be inspired by
yep.
and to grow your desire, hopefully. But the thing that's most important is to go be around other actual real life human beings who are believers, you know, and live life with them. That is what we are intended to do.
You know?
Not just be filled with information and inspiration, but like go be around others and act on your desires and show love and, you know, and help others.
Who's
grow.
Doing it? Who's living it out?
Exactly.
Get
exactly.
around those people.
Yes.
Yeah. So the New Testament tells us that we should consider one another in order to stir up, there it is, to love and to good works. We should look to stir up other people and look mm-hmm. for other people that can help stir us up. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging, directing, even correcting,
mm-hmm.
so that we can stir it up. Yeah, stir yourself up. Get to stirring some other people up and get stirred up by some other people.
So good.
And then the last one today, keep a picture in front of you of what God's called you to. And there ought to be some sense of, you know who you are not today, but you know what God's called you to do. And this usually mm-hmm. shows up in the form of responsibilities that we have. And those aren't meant to discourage us or weigh us down. They should inspire us mm-hmm. as I look at, okay, wait a minute. God has created me as a man. He's created me to be an adventurer, a warrior, a leader, a protector, a seeker of his heart. Mm-hmm. That is who I am. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a woman and you say, God has created me to be a nurturer, intuitive, sensing, powerful influencer in my mm-hmm. world, mm-hmm. I'm going to be all of that. Mm-hmm. Or if he's called you and you're the husband, then mm-hmm. be that. Be what he's called you to be. See that. See the picture of what that looks like. What does it look like if I'm a Jesus looking like husband, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Get a model for that in front of you. If I'm a father, if I'm a leader, as a worshiper, mm-hmm. as a teacher, mm-hmm. a relationship healer, mm-hmm. own all of that. Say, this is what God's called me to be. Yeah. I can do this through the power of Christ. He's made me to be creative, or he's made me to be a builder. He's mm-hmm. made me to be an ambassador in Christ. He's made me to be the light of the world. He's made me to influence people. He's made me to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's made me for this moment. He's anointed me just like he anointed Jesus for a purpose. He's called me for something greater than what I can even comprehend. And I'm part of the church of the living God. Yeah, build yourself up in that. Yeah. Stir it up. Keep a picture in front of you. That's who I'm made to be. That's exactly. who I am. And then quote some scripture over yourself.
Yep. Say, verbal affirmation.
Yeah. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Know those truths. Hang on to those. Know that you've been called, that you have people in your life that are dependent on you. You have people that you can depend on. Know that you have you're part of a community of believers that you can look to for strength and for insight and for encouragement, to know you're not alone, that you're being shaped into the image of Christ, that you're being called to show to other people what Jesus looks like, and that you're unstoppable until he's finished with you. Mm-hmm. Man, all that stuff, that just inspires. That just builds up. This stirs up. And this is what we're called to do.
So good.
I was thinking about Gideon in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. He was a man who, when we are introduced to him, he has anything but desire.
Yeah.
He's hiding when he should be fighting. Mm-hmm. He is away from the war, and mm-hmm. his nation is cratering.
Yeah.
They're being overrun with the enemy, and they haven't seen the power of God in some time, and he has very little desire. And it's there hiding that the angel of the Lord meets him. And it's interesting in Judges, the book of Judges chapter 6, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the first thing the angel says is, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." You think, man, that's mm-hmm. the last thing that dude is right now.
Yeah.
And he probably thought, this is not who I am right now. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that in the next verse, Gideon kind of rebukes or attempts to rebuke mm-hmm. the angel and say, "Mighty man of valor, well, we haven't seen God work here in a long time. Where are the miracles? Where is his presence? Where's everything that we thought was going to be his promises?" And as he talked, you just sense him getting all fired up.
Mm-hmm. And so good.
It's almost as though he turns into, just in that one verse, he starts to turn into the mighty man of valor, like something needs to be done.
Yeah.
And the angel says, "Hey, now go in this might of yours." In other words, that desire that just got stirred up in you, I want you to go in that.
Yeah.
He said, you're going to save Israel from the Midianites. There it is. It happened just that quickly for Gideon. Process, but it happened rather quickly for him. He got a picture of who he was. Mm-hmm. He heard what God said about him. He got fired up on the inside and says, "I've got to do something because I've been made for this time. I've been made for this purpose. I've got a purpose to set my nation free." There's desire. It all came alive. So,
that
gets me fired up thinking about it. And
exactly.
I hope it does for you as well, because this is where desire comes from.
Yep.
And don't listen to the voice of the accuser that wants to silence you, shame you, guilt you, manipulate you, coerce you, threaten you, weigh heavy burdens on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. That's not from God, though it might look religious. It's from the enemy, and it's insidious.
So good.
So, throw off those shackles. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. Don't stir up the guilt that comes from the enemy, and watch desire come alive.
Yeah, love it. It's so good.
Good stuff. So this is the kind of stuff we talk about on our podcast. It's real. It's where the Bible meets life. It's where Jesus meets us. It's where he comes alive in us and we come alive in him. And I hope it has been helpful to you today. Share it with a friend. Pass it along, because there is, we have yet to see what will happen inside of any individual believer or a church in this generation who will be fully surrendered and committed to all that Jesus has called him to. Stir it up. Stir it up. Let's go. All right. Join us again next time as we lift him up and live him out.